And we started with what? Anybody remember? Holiness, the most prominent attribute of God in Scripture. From His holiness flows His righteousness and His justice. And we looked at those. And then last week, the most common as far as the world understands, and that is God's love. Today, we focus on God's mercy. And if you, like me, are a little bit older, I mean, then there's Mark Zeus, but then the longer you're saved, the more you appreciate the mercy of God. Amen? So now, what we have here in Genesis 19 is the first mention. And it's always good to look at the first mention when studying a doctrine like this. The first mention of God's mercy toward man. And it's actually in an interesting story, which you'll see here. So who would read verses 16 to 19 to get us started as we focus this morning on the mercy of God? Any volunteers to read those four verses? Come on, Pastor Shannon. Thank you.
And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him said, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Sorry about that. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me, and I die.
I'm actually going to preach on this passage in the morning service, so we won't spend too much time here. But did you see it said there in verse 16, the Lord being merciful unto him? So the Lord saved Lot's life and his wife and his daughters because of his mercy. And then, of course, Lot tried to take advantage of that mercy later, as you saw there, and said, thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed in saving my life. So he recognized that if it wasn't for the mercy of God, he wouldn't have survived the judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. So the first mention of mercy has to do with Lot, and as we'll see in the morning service, Lot is a picture of the church being taken out just prior to God's judgment upon the earth. And anyway, we'll talk about that later. So in Exodus 34, let's turn there. We'll again see God here talking about himself and his character. And he mentions here his mercy. So who would read verses 5 through 7 of Exodus 34? And we're establishing that this is part of God's character, that he is a merciful God. Brother Mark?
And the Lord descended from the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation.
Amen. Now remember, this is God speaking about himself. This was the time when he partially showed himself to Moses, remember? And the Lord God, merciful and gracious. So the Lord is speaking about himself, revealing himself to man. This is the early days of God doing that. And he refers to himself as merciful and gracious. Now next week we'll look at the grace of God. But today we're focusing on his mercy. And notice he said, keeping mercy for thousands. And as we'll see, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we wouldn't be here this morning. Amen? We wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't even be alive if it wasn't for the mercy of God. So God is a merciful God. And like I say, the longer you're saved, the more you appreciate that. So let's look at some more scriptures that show this is part of his character. Psalm 25 and verse 6. So volunteers, just shoot your hand up. Just crank right through these. Come on. Psalm 25, 6. Who will read it? One verse. Thank you, Beryl. They've been ever of old. So God's mercies have been ever of old. Praise God. Psalm 57, 10. Who would read that one? One verse. Thank you, Jackie. Great unto the heavens. Wow. So God's mercy is great unto the heavens. It means it's everywhere. And then Psalm 103, 8. Who would read that one? Psalm 103, 8. We're just going to establish here that it's part of his character, and then we're going to look more about the mercy of God. Anybody? Psalm 103, 8. Thank you, Philip.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy.
So notice it says plenteous in mercy. Praise the Lord. God isn't just merciful, he's plenteous in mercy. And then Psalm 119:64. Would read that one? Psalm 119, verse 64. Mark?
The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes.
So notice the earth is full of God's mercy. Think about that. The earth is full of God's mercy. And then Psalm 136, 1. Who would read this one? This is an important one. Thank you, Philip.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Now that phrase, his mercy endureth forever, is in the Old Testament 45 times. His mercy endureth forever. Now most of them are in this psalm. It's repeated. Because remember, these were songs that the Jews sang. And if you notice, at the end of each verse in Psalm 136, how does it end? For his mercy endureth forever. Must be important that God's mercy endureth forever. And again, if that weren't true, we would be in serious trouble. Amen. All right, let's look at a couple more. Micah 7:18, and then we'll go to the New Testament. So Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Who would read Micah 7:18? Thank you, Maggie. Now, what would God have to be angry about? Exactly, our sin, our rebellion, our attitude. But it says, because he delighteth in mercy. So God, his mercy, keeps him from, if you will, and I'm saying it wrong, but you know what I'm saying, it offsets his anger at our sin, because he's a merciful God. And trust me, we are very blessed as a result. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and then we'll be done establishing that it's part of who God is, and then we'll understand how it's manifested. So who would read 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3? Thank you, Brad.
Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort.
The Father of mercies. Think about what that's saying. So God is the Father of mercies. So we've established that our God is a merciful God. So now let's see how it's manifested to us, if you will. And we'll go back to Exodus again this time. Exodus chapter 15. And we'll see that it's the mercy of God that leads him to be kind and gracious unto his people. So who would read Exodus 15, 13? This is talking about when God rescued Israel out of Egypt. Beth, thank you.
Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation.
So notice he says, thou in thy mercy. So it was God's mercy was manifested when he delivered Israel from Egypt. Now let's go to Exodus 25. Now, when they had the tabernacle, this was part of the furniture. Who would read it? Exodus 25, 17. Volunteers? Thank you.
You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits of its width.
So notice that the seat that was in the tabernacle was referred to as the mercy seat. Think about that. It could have had a lot of different names, but God chose to call it the mercy seat. Why is that? Because he wants us to know he's merciful. So he referred to it as the mercy seat. So we already see it being manifested in the Old Testament, but of course, we as the church see it mostly manifested in the New Testament. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll see that it was God's mercy that led him to redeem and save us. So who would read Ephesians 2 verses 4 to 6? Anyone? Doug, thank you.
God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
And you'll see that the mercy and grace of God are very intertwined in Scripture. But as it says here, God who is rich in mercy. So it was because God is so merciful, he's rich in mercy, it led him to redeem us, to save us. And then go to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. So we're talking about the manifestation of God's mercy, and we're seeing that it is in his ultimately his forgiveness or salvation. So who would read Titus 3, 5? Beryl, thank you. According to his mercy, he saved us. Isn't that beautiful? He saved us because he's merciful. And then 1 Peter 1, 3. Who would read that for us? Brad, thank you.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
According to his abundant mercy, he hath begotten us again. So according to his abundant mercy, he has saved us or begotten us again. So God has revealed his mercy through redeeming Israel, rescuing them from Egypt. He then began to show that he's a merciful God. Every day they would go to the tabernacle and interact with this mercy seat. And now we see in the New Testament, because of his mercy, he saves us. But God goes beyond that. After we're saved, does he continue to show us mercy? He's a good father. Amen. But if he punished us appropriately every time we broke his laws and sinned against him, we would all be dead, right? That's just the truth of the matter. But God's merciful. Not because we deserve it, but because that's part of his character. And so as God's children, we live in the mercy of God on a daily basis. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses them, forsaketh them, shall have mercy. So God continues to manifest his mercy by being patient with us, if you will. And he mentions that. If you go to Lamentations chapter 3, most of us know this passage because of the great is thy faithfulness phrase. But the verse just before that one, Lamentations 3:22, notice what it says. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. So it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Let's face it, we deserve to be consumed. And remember, our God is a consuming fire, we're told in Hebrews 12:29. So it's of his mercies that we're not consumed, because God is a merciful God. He puts up with us, if you will. And we'll also be talking about his long-suffering later. But our God is a merciful God. He's plenteous of mercy. His mercy is great. It reaches to the heavens. And if you go to Psalm 86:5, we'll see that there's even more mercy available, as we're talking now, to those who will confess, who will repent of their sins. Psalm 86, verse 5. Who would read that? Jackie?
For thou, Lord, art certain ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee.
Plenteous in mercy unto all them that call. Every time we call upon the Lord, we're essentially calling upon his mercy. Saying, Lord, I know I don't deserve it, but please forgive me. That's mercy. Because we don't deserve it. God doesn't forgive us because we deserve it. I'm talking about our fellowship with God as our Heavenly Father. I'm not talking about heaven or hell. That's done. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm talking about as God's child, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He does it every time because he's merciful. And praise God that he is. So we talk in Hebrews 4 about the throne of grace, which next week we'll talk about as grace. But it says, come therefore unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy. So we come to the throne of grace because our God's a merciful God. All right, so we see now that God manifests his mercy through how he treats us. Through giving us salvation, through delivering us, through being patient with us, through putting up with us, if you will. And that's how we'll find that the grace and the long suffering of God and the mercy of God are all intertwined. But what does it mean for us now as far as how we should be? Remember, so far, every single one of the attributes of God, he wants us to emulate. Right? He wants us to be holy, for he is holy. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He wants us to be just, not be a respecter of persons. And he, of course, wants us to love one another as he's loved us, right? As I have loved you, that you also love one another. It's the same with his mercy. He wants us to emulate his mercy. So let's look at that. Go to Micah chapter 6, verse 8 for an Old Testament reference, and then we'll see plenty of New Testament references where God commands us to emulate his mercy to others. So who would read Micah 6, verse 8? Doug, thank you.
He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
To do justly, and to love mercy. That's talking to us. Now, Jesus taught us some truths about mercy in some parables. Let's go to Matthew 18. We won't look at the whole parable. But this is the parable of the unmerciful servant. Most of us know this parable quite well, where the man was forgiven of a debt he could never pay. In today's dollars, more than $1 billion. And then he turned around and demanded that another person pay him back for a super tiny debt in comparison. That's why we call it the parable of the unmerciful servant. But in the midst of this, down in verse 33, as the Lord is speaking to this unmerciful servant, he says, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? That word compassion there in Matthew 18:33 is the same word as translated mercy in other parts of the New Testament. So mercy and compassion are one and the same. But he's saying, shouldn't you have shown to him what I showed to you? I showed mercy. I forgave him his debt. Why didn't you do the same? So through that parable, he's teaching that we're to be merciful. Then and go to Luke 6:36, and he states it clearly. Who would read that? Luke 6:36. Thank you, James.
Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful.
Look at that. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. So be like your Father. Be merciful. All right, and then has anybody ever heard of the parable of the Good Samaritan? Of course we all have. Luke chapter 10. And we won't look at the whole parable, but we know the parable. But at the end, when Jesus asks the question, remember, Jesus told this parable in answer to a question, who is my neighbor? Remember? Because Jesus said we're to love our neighbors ourselves, and someone was being a bit of a smart aleck and said, who's my neighbor? And so Jesus then told the parable of the Good Samaritan. And what was he teaching through that? Through that parable. That our neighbor is whoever has a need, right? If we see the need, then we're to meet that need. And that means they're our neighbor. So he's not talking about who lives next door, although that is our neighbor as well. But it's if there we see someone with a need, we're to meet that need, and that's what this Samaritan did. But at the end, he then asked the question here in Luke chapter 10, down in verse 36, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? So now Jesus is asking a question. So the man started the whole thing by asking the question, who's my neighbor? Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. Then he asked the question, so now, which of these three do you think is the neighbor? The two that passed by on the other side or the one that helped him? Verse 37, he said, he that showed mercy. And Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. So the man got his question answered, didn't he? And we all learned. But he that showed mercy, he that saw a need and met it, he showed mercy on this man that had been beaten up by thieves and was laying in the street. God wants us to emulate his mercy. So let's look at some more in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Any questions or comments up to now about the mercy of God? Praise God for his mercy. Anybody? Who would read Colossians 3:12? Thank you, Beth.
Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, and meekness and long suffering.
So put on as the elect of God, bowels of mercies. That is a command. That we put on bowels of mercies. Then Jude chapter 1, verse 22. Well, really any chapter you'd like. But Jude chapter 1, verse 22. Who would read that for us? This is talking about how we should treat the lost. Philip? Again, that word compassion there, same Greek word that's translated mercy in other parts of the New Testament. God says when it comes to the lost, because look at the next verse. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. So God is saying that we need to show mercy on the lost. How can we do that? How do we show mercy to the lost? Jackie? Meeting the needs, but Brad, we got to share the gospel too. If we meet a physical need of a lost person and they still die and go to hell, we didn't help them very much, did we? They need Jesus Christ, so they need both. So yes, meet the physical need, but then tell them why. Because of Jesus Christ. And then we'll finish at 1 John 3:17. Again, the word compassion is used here, same Greek word that's translated mercy. So who would read that? 1 John 3:17. Beryl, thank you. So it says, if you see a brother who has a need, and it says, you shutteth up your bowels of compassion or mercy, it's the same word, how dwelleth the love of God in you? So he's saying that one of the ways that we can manifest God's love through us, and remember that's the fruit of the Spirit, is by helping meet others' needs. Now, one thing I found that was very interesting that I didn't know until I did this study, that mercy is, of all the 10 moral attributes of God, it's the only one that is a gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, we talk about the gifts that the Holy Ghost gives out to his children, and he decides who gets what gifts. One of the gifts is mercy, and that's in Romans 12. So we'll turn there quickly. I forgot to mention that. Now, some of the gifts are the fruit of the Spirit. Love, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. Goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. And those are all moral attributes of God. But of all the moral attributes of God, only one is one of the Holy Spirit gifts. Isn't that interesting? And that's mercy. Notice Romans 12. Verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost that he allocates to his children is the gift of mercy. So every now and then he'll choose a Christian and give them his extra dose of mercy. And that's an actual gift. The ability to show mercy to everyone in a powerful way. So I found that quite interesting. So that's 5 of the 10 moral attributes of God. Thoughts or questions? It's good to learn more about our Heavenly Father, isn't it? So he's holy, he's righteous, he's just, he's loving, and he's merciful. Next week we find out that he's great.